This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Phil Odebear is the former news director for WJMA Radio in Orange. He joins us in studio to talk about, give us a quick Orange County update. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How about you?
I'm good. Thank
Sorry
you for coming in.
Had a bad night last night.
Oh, it was awful. It was the worst.
I've had one night like that before, and I know exactly what it is. It's awful.
You just lay there and you think, why am I not falling asleep? I'm exhausted. Why am I not falling asleep? And I wasn't thinking about anything in particular. In fact, I was thinking about a million things. And I didn't drink a big soda or anything right before bed, which sometimes will do it. But I have no idea what was up. But gosh, it really got me. It really got me. Phil, we're starting something new on this program where we wanted to have folks come in from sort of the what I call the satellite counties that ring Albemarle. You know, Greene, Orange, Louisa, Fluvanna, Nelson, Buckingham, Augusta, and just sort of get an occasional snapshot of what's going on in that area. And we talked to the fellow from Fluvanna County just a couple of weeks ago, and you have volunteered, thank you very much, to be our Orange County beat reporter and keep us informed about what's going on in Orange County, of course, which on the clock, if you don't know, if Albemarle is in the middle, Orange County is about 1 or 2 o'clock.
Right. Right.
Just to the northeast.
Yeah.
Between us and Prince William.
Yeah, and Spotsylvania.
Spotsylvania, Fredericksburg.
Right.
Yeah. Now, how long have you... You've lived there a while, right?
I've lived there since 1957. I'm actually living on the same farm since I was 8 years
Get
old.
Get out.
Yeah, it's kind of
really?
Cool. Yeah, it's kind of neat.
That's very cool.
Not are the you, same house, but the same farm.
Are you from that area? How'd you end up in Orange in 57?
Well, you know, it's a long story, but my mom remarried after my dad died, and he was from Gordonsville, so that's where I am.
Well, there you go. Now, 57, so what's the biggest change besides the cars and the roads that you've seen in all that time? That's a long time.
Oh, it's the growth. It's unbelievable. The growth that's they're knocking at our doors. It's this phalanx of developers are at the borders, and they're, you know, it's like the Capital One, Senior Wallet, those Norsemen, they're coming.
Yeah, yeah, and of course you get a lot of it, probably more than we do here, a lot of that Northern Virginia sprawl, don't you?
Yeah, because the thing is, it's interesting, Orange County is 355 square miles, but it's a really long county, east to west, and the east's, and it's 39 miles long. And so it's kind of weird because the people in the eastern end up near Fredericksburg, they have no idea about what the people in Ehart are doing or Barbersville or and all that, because that's the other end of the county. It's 39 miles away.
Wow. Yeah. So it's sort of stretched out east to west.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. Yeah. So on the same piece of property in Orange County since 1957, and of course you were news director for many years at WJMA, and you also write the Insider Series in the Orange County Review, which is a regular read up in those parts. Give us a little bit more background on Orange County. I know, of course, James and Dolly Madison.
That's right.
And I was actually just up there this summer.
Not the birthplace of James Madison, but it's certainly because he just happened to be born, I think, while his mother was on the road and they were making their way back. But, you know, his father built a house in Orange County, and then they built Montpelier, which is now trying to become another Monticello, really, and deserves to be, because James Madison is the architect of the U.S. Constitution. So,
and they are sitting on, I mean, I think they'll do it, because they are absolutely sitting on, well, they have 2,000 acres. You know, the Thomas Jefferson Foundation here in Charlottesville, Albemarle, they don't have the land that was Jefferson's once upon a time, but up at Montpelier, they still have it.
Yeah.
It's part of that foundation, and it's just immense. I mean, it's an incredible fortune that they're really sitting on to market. And I think that just we're going to see some pretty amazing things come out of Montpelier in the next 10 to 20 years.
Almost certainly. And it's interesting that James Madison and Thomas Jefferson were best buddies, and they would ride up and down the road, basically Route 20, to go visit each other and all that. And we got a lot of history. We were formed in 1734. A lot of Civil War history.
So 10 years before Albemarle, which is 1744, 1 year after Jefferson's birth.
And there's an argument to be made that at that time in 1734, Orange County's boundaries went all the way out as far as British-held territory went, sort of in a great fan west, including where the city of Chicago is today.
Wow.
And
I didn't know that.
I just got back from a trip where I decided I would go visit every orange I could find in Ohio and Indiana. I found three.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Towns named Orange?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Just for the heck of it.
Why did they name it Orange?
For the Prince William of Orange.
Okay.
The Duke of Orange.
Alrighty.
I might have checked my facts on that one. But anyway, that's what that's all about.
So tell us, fill us in on what's front burner up in Orange right now. I'm sure it has something to do with growth the same it is here.
It is, and it's growth and water, and the two are connected, very well connected. I mean, it's raining today, and that's great, but that will lull, and it'll rain tomorrow, and they're talking about Ernesto and all that type of thing, but that will lull everyone into a great complacency that, you know, oh, well, the drought's over, but it's not, because I think that if you look at the Rapidan River, where the town of Orange gets its water, it is consistently lower and lower every year.
Really?
And it is, you know, there'll be a storm and it'll get up high, but it'll get down low again more quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been playing in this river since I was an 8-year-old kid, and I've seen it happen. It's, and this is the source of the water for the town of Orange. This is the river that dried up and left the town of Orange with no water, zero water in 2002. There were porta potties strung out along the streets of Orange. The restaurants were serving on paper plates and plastic spoons and forks and knives. They were trucking water into the standpipe from Culpeper. You were allowed to use 25 gallons per household per day.
That's not much.
That's not much at all. That's not much at all. And this is also the source of the water that goes all the way down Route 15 from Orange to Gordonsville, and also the source of Gordonsville's water.
The same river.
The same river, which is it's transported and resold from the town of Orange by the Rapidan Service Authority.
Well, that's scary.
That is scary.
I mean, really, if you've got whole municipalities depending upon this one river, and the river keeps going down year after year after year for whatever reason, you know, global warming. I don't care. It's going down. That's scary.
Okay. Now let's fast forward to the growth issue and keeping all that in mind. And the Board of Supervisors have turned down three applications for developments on the eastern end of the county, which is the fastest growing end of the county. But they have recently two new residential developments have started construction in Gordonsville that were previously rezoned residential anyway. And they just approved a 290-unit subdivision outside of Gordonsville called Annandale, which is going to become the Silver Active Adult Community.
Uh-huh.
And all those people are going to need all that water that is not flowing down the Rapidan River anymore.
The good thing is they're not bringing their kids that will need schools.
That's true.
But they still need water.
The Silver Active Community, one of its selling points, I think, was that they are not. It is only going to be for older citizens and no children are going to be allowed. But and they made a lot of proffers and all that type of thing. And there were a lot of people that were against this whole project. And I think that the Board of Supervisors were kind of arm wrestled into this because they realized that the people that own it's 244 acres, they were going to put houses in there anyway. And I think one of the supervisors managed to figure out that under current subdivision ordinance, they could, if they wangled it just so, they could wind up having a subdivision with as many as 90 homes within 8 years or something like that. And so they said, well, we'll take the lesser of two evils. At least we'll have control over the situation and we'll approve the 290 homes, which is down from 650. And we will take $8 million or so in proffers and property for a new school and a library.
Yeah, yeah. And Orange is getting some good proffers versus we've just learned recently that Albemarle County isn't doing as well in proffers from developers as Orange County is.
Yeah, yeah. It's a tough call, really, because you can't tell people, you know, my home is my castle. I can do it with my land as I wish. And there's that camp, and there's another camp that's saying, well, you know, we're not going to allow anything to happen. It's going to grow. It's, you just have to control it and channel it in the places where, you know, you want to. The Board of Supervisors, well, the Planning Commission just spent 2.5 years putting together a brand new comprehensive plan, which is really a remarkable document. I went out, you know, when you approached me about this, I went out and said, well, you know, I need to do some research. I went down to the Planning Department in Orange, so I knew what I was talking about. And I wound up buying a copy of the plan because it's an incredible research tool. It tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
And
so what's Orange County? Well, let's take a quick break. When we get back, you can tell us what we can expect Orange County will look like given this vision of the current board and this comprehensive plan that they're working on. We're talking with Phil Odebear of Orange County. Let's take a very quick break. We're back in two. Phil Odebear is the former news director at WJMA Radio in Orange, Virginia. He joins us for an Orange Report. So you get a copy of the comprehensive plan for Orange County. What's it look like?
Well, I brought it with me, and it's costs $30, and it's worth every penny of it.
It's a three-ring notebook with lots of tabs in it.
Yeah.
And is it sort of like, you know, Albemarle County has its growth areas and its rural areas, and we're going to protect the rural areas, and we're going to stuff the growth areas like crazy. And just now they're starting to think, well, wait a minute. We don't want to approve everything that comes down the pike because we want to make sure we get the sidewalks and the roads to support these things in the growth area, which they don't. So because that stuff costs money.
Yeah.
What's it look like in Orange?
Well, one of the things that this document shows us is that we are at a 4.9% growth rate between July 1st of 04 and July 1st of 05. And here's another nice little statistic. 284 building permits were issued in the year 2002 in Orange County. In 2005, that number was 744.
Wow. It's almost tripled or more than tripled.
Oh, yeah. We have also, let me see here, it is a cool thing here. The 2002 population was estimated at 27,258 people, a 22% growth in 10 years. And you compare that with the statewide growth rate of population, which is 13.4%, and the federal, the national population growth rate is 12.3.
So it's twice as much.
Almost twice as much as the national growth rate.
And where is this coming from? From Northern Virginia?
Yeah, it's coming from Northern Virginia, I think.
Yeah.
And
because Stafford's seeing the same thing, and you're getting some of that overflow.
Oh, yeah.
As folks head down to Fredericksburg. Fredericksburg is sort of like the new Springfield. When we moved to Springfield from Atlanta in 71, it was way out in the country, and there wasn't much to it. It was just this little stop on the highway. And now Fredericksburg has become the new Springfield.
That's
right. It's just amazing how it keeps going further out and further out.
And, you know, it's 44, the 44th fastest growing county in the entire nation.
Is Orange.
Yeah.
Wow.
These are scary numbers. And so, anyway, but the thing is that the pressure right now is happening in Gordonsville at the other end of the county. And we're like, why is that? He says, well, because of proximity to Charlottesville.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Charlottesville, you know, number one place to live in the country, all that sort of stuff.
And it's a lot cheaper to build
and live.
How to ruin
a really nice town really quick.
It's a lot cheaper to build and live in Gordonsville than it is in, you know, Orange County or... Same thing in Rutgersville. It's cheaper in Standardsville, Rutgersville. So we're seeing a lot of those bedroom communities sprout
That's
up.
Right. And we are becoming a bedroom community for Charlottesville, especially in the western end of the county. The interesting thing about this, Gordonsville has a population of about 1,500 people. And with Coniston Farm Manor, there are 59 lots there. Gordonsville Gates are 48 lots there. And then there are going to be 290 units at Annandale. And the Gordonsville Town Council, with the exception of a couple of members, are slathering over the idea that they can annex all these lots and all these new people and all these new taxpayers.
Uh-huh.
And what the Gordonsville Town Council doesn't really realize is that if they do that, they're going to lose political control of their town. And they're going to wake up one morning and some guy from Asbury Park, New Jersey, is going to be running their town.
And he might have some different ideas.
He might have some very different ideas.
Yeah, and good or bad, you know, who knows?
Right, right.
Who knows? That's pretty interesting. And that's really taking shape there in Gordonsville, which is, of course, as you said, the western end of the county. And the eastern end is getting some of that overflow from the Fredericksburg area. Yeah. What's the politics like on the Orange County board? help? Do you see most of the folks are like very pro-development and seem to approve everything that comes down the pike, or?
No, I think it's a mixed bag on the Board of Supervisors. I think we had an election just recently where a definitive statement was made in one of the voting districts that they did not want uncontrolled growth, that they wanted to really put a lid on it. The Board of Supervisors are the guys that are going to implement this comprehensive plan. And this comprehensive plan is calling for a 2% growth rate, not a 4.9% growth rate. A 2% growth rate.
That means they have to say no.
And the Planning Commission...
a lot.
Yeah, the Planning Commission went through a really good democratic process in finding out what the people of Orange County wanted in the plan. And they revised it, and they held public hearings, and it went on for 2.5 years. And then they sent it to the County Board of Supervisors, who approved it in May. Now it's up to the Board of Supervisors to implement it, because the Planning Commission has no power.
Right, right, right.
And so... You know, I have listed here in my little outline, solutions to these problems that we're having. And the number one is abide by the comprehensive plan that was so democratically produced and arrived at.
Yeah.
But that doesn't
always happen. We have some folks here in Crozet in Albemarle County who feel like the board isn't really abiding by the plan that they had. The growth plan that they had set for Crozet, that they're sort of saying, well, and fudging numbers and
right.
That can happen.
Right. Another thing, too, is that there's been a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth because we've lost some industries, particularly in textiles like Liberty Fabrics. There was a silk mill and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And, those things don't happen because people are against growth or want to control growth. Those things happen because, it's cheaper to do in China.
Yeah, and that's happening everywhere.
Yeah, and that is happening everywhere. And so we need to attract businesses that are not going to be outsourced to China.
Phil Odebear is the former news director for WJMA, who joins us with an Orange County update, and we'll do this again. Thank you, sir, very much.
I enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.